Before I start the message, I want to say something. There's a lot of talk about COVID and about churches meeting and about people being safe, and it's probably on all of us's mind. The leadership of this church is very concerned about what we do and what we bring to you that we think we ought to do. And we want you to feel safe, whatever it is that you're doing. We don't want to hold back any assembling here because of fear of this stuff. But from where I sit, there's a lot of people talking to me that are supposed to know, and they say they know, but it's obvious they don't know. Then there's other people that are talking to me that say they don't know, and I know they're in a position to know. So we're getting a bunch of lies both ways. So whatever you feel like would be the thing that we should do here, please let us know. Because like I've said, I know that most of us have been vaccinated, and some of us have had it. So maybe we've got antibodies built up. But with churches in our area shutting down because they got COVID going through them, it's something we do need to be concerned about. So if you have thoughts about it, please let some of us know. You can turn in your Bibles. We'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to give you a little background before we start looking at these scriptures. The title of this is What You Have, or What You Have. The Bible calls this expression what you have, and they H-A-F-T, they call it what you have in 16th century English, is spiritual knowledge and Bible knowledge. That's what you have. They're talking here to people who are in that period between salvation and being face to face with God. That period that the Bible calls sanctification. That period that we are taught how to be like Jesus. And some of the rules concerning what God says about where, I know most of us are in that place. We're in that place between being saved, that we're learning, and before we die. Because when we die as Christians, I think we'll know everything. People say they're going to ask these questions in heaven. I think when you get to heaven, I don't think you're going to have to ask anything. I think everything that you want to know, you'll know. I also believe that the unsaved, the sinner, 1 minute after he quits breathing, his heart stops beating. I think he knows the truth of everything that he's heard about heaven and hell. And he knows it was true, and he didn't believe it. So there's that. So these scriptures that talk about what you have, that's what it's talking about, is what you know that you have learned since you've been born again about heaven, about the Bible, about Jesus, Holy Spirit, about God, whatever. It's spiritual things, spiritual knowledge that you have about heaven and what the Bible speaks about. So that's the subject that we're talking about today. And I want to remind you about something. God said, for you that are born again, let your light so shine, in other words, be a testimony for God on this earth. Let your light shine. He says nobody brings a candle in, I mean a, a lamp. It says candle in one of the translations, but what I had to learn in those days, the days of Jesus, there wasn't any such thing as a candle. Candle in Israel would have melted. It was a lamp, and it was lighted by olive oil. And it was a little cup with olive oil in it, and they set a wick in it, and they burned it, and that was the lamp. But they said nobody brings in a lamp and puts it under a bushel. Now, if you've never understood, it's not a bushel basket. A bushel, what they called a bushel, was a measurement that was like an open pot that would hold what they called a bushel. And in Bible dictionaries, you can see pictures of these vessels that were called a bushel. They're made out of clay. And what he's saying here is nobody lights a lamp and then turns a pot upside down on it where nobody can see it. So he says, now that you are a Christian and I have taught you something, you don't hide that. You spread it around. You show it to people. Let your light so shine, light is knowledge, so that others may see your good works. Because if you're a Christian and you have knowledge, you're going to do good things. That's just taken for granted by Jesus. Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Apparently, with the way this feeble mind of mine works, that we're going to be doing some things as Christians that the folks around us figured we'd never do if we didn't have Jesus. So when you do those things, they say, well, you know why he's doing that? It's because he's got God. And that is the way God gets glory, is by us doing those good things that he calls us to do and equips us to do. So you are to let your light shine. That is not a thinking thing, that is a doing thing. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now in this situation, Paul has written this letter to Corinth, the church at Corinth, and he's telling them about some things he has been trying to teach them. Corinth, two letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, was both letters by Paul to the church at Corinth. Apparently they weren't doing too hot. And they was getting themselves in all kind of trouble, and he has to write to them to try to get them out of trouble. But he says in verse 6, and these things I've been telling you, he says, I have in a figure, that means figuratively, he has transferred to myself and to Apollos, the other guy that was traveling with him that wrote Hebrews probably, and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn not to think of men above that which is written. You don't think of men and put them on a pedestal. When you serve God, he's going to make the point right here that God can be worshiped, Jesus can be worshiped, the Holy Spirit cannot be worshiped, because the Holy Spirit's job is to worship both Jesus and God. So you don't worship the Holy Spirit like some of our denominations attempt to do. Think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up or prideful for one against another. Have you heard of preacher worshipers? They believe that the only thing that can come from God is from this preacher right here. And if something happens to him, we don't know what we'll do. And he says not to do that. You don't put one man up above another. And this next verse is a reason, verse 7. For who maketh you to be different from anybody else? And what have you that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Now, what that verse is saying is this. what you have learned since you've been born again, God gave it to you. God has given you all kind of spiritual knowledge. You didn't learn it yourself. Without Jesus saving you, you wouldn't even thought about it. And since Jesus is in you through the Holy Spirit, He is causing you to learn things that God has written in the Bible. So He says, why do you who appear to know more than somebody else does about the Bible, why you want to walk around with your chest stuck out like you're any different than anybody else? Because He says you're not. You didn't think about it. You received it. And that word received, it means you caught it. So what does He say? Ye that hath an ear, let him hear. So if you have got, if you know anything about heaven and the Bible and God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, it's because you caught on, if you will. You heard it, and the Holy Spirit inside you says you need to believe that because it's true. So why go around bragging, and there are people who do this, there are preachers who do this, that act like they ought to be lifted high up on a pole or something because they know more Bible than everybody else does, or they think they do. But it says you got it because God gave it to you, and He chose to do that. It wasn't because you're smarter than anybody else, it's because God wanted you to know it. So why then act like you got it any other way than God just decided I want Him to know it and gave it to you? That's the reason He says we're all alike. Now when He says, ye that have ears to hear, let them hear, that means you that can understand what I'm trying to teach you in this sanctification process. Do you understand? Can you understand what I'm trying to say to you? That's what He meant by if you have ears, let you hear. But what I learned was, after several years of studying like that, wondering how in the world that some folks had ears and some folks didn't have ears, God gives us the ears. You don't even have the ear to understand if God didn't give it to you. So when He says, you that have ears to hear, what He's saying is, you that I have chose to teach and you understand. Now you remember the parable of the talents, because Jesus was teaching it, and He said the kingdom of heaven is like this. Now He's not talking about us going to heaven. He's talking about down here. This, for people who are born again, they can choose to live under God's rule, to want their life to be just like God wants it to be. And so they're living in a kingdom that God rules, which is the kingdom of heaven. So He said the kingdom of heaven, that which you're living or choosing to live in now, if you are, to want to do everything God wants you to do, is like this. And a fellow called his servants to him, gave one of them five talents, gave another them two, gave another them one, and then he went off on a long journey and told them, do something with what I gave you. When he came back, he called them in and said, well, what have you done with what I gave you? And the one that had five talents says, here, Lord, says, I went out and used it, and I've got 10. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Then the guy that had two, he came in. And he said, well, what have you done with what I gave you? He said, I've went out and I've doubled it. I've got four or five. I can't remember exactly the number. But he took what God gave him, or the man gave him, and made something out of it. And then the third guy came in that had the one. And he said, well, what'd you do with yours? He said, I knew you were a hard man. And God is a hard man. If he used the same analogy, said it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an awesome God, is what Hebrews says. So he said, I knew you were a hard man, so I took mine and buried it. So here's your one back. He said, you lazy, slothful servant. At least you could have put it with the money changers and it could have made me interest. You didn't even do that. You're giving me back exactly what I have. And he said, take what he's got away from him and give it to somebody that'll go and do something with it. That is a godly, heavenly principle of this thing called the kingdom of heaven, where we're living right now, if you're choosing to do what God wants you to do. God gives you stuff. He intends for you to take it and do something with it. If you don't take it and do something with it, he'll take it away from you and give it to somebody that will go do something with it. That was the whole principle of the parable of the talents. It says in John chapter 3 and verse 27, you don't have to turn there, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. John says, there's something y'all need to understand. You cannot understand anything about the spiritual world, the spiritual life, unless heaven gives it to you. You can't figure it out on your own. In Jeremiah, it says that it is not within the heart of the man that walks to direct his own path. So a fellow that walks can't decide where he needs to walk unless God tells him where to go. So then we go to Matthew chapter 25. Turn there if you will, please. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 29. This is the end of the verse. This is the conclusion of the story about the parable of the talents. Chapter 25 of Matthew and verse 29 says, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given." He's talking about this thing of the talents. Two guys came back and they had stuff because they took what he gave them and made more out of it. The one guy came back and he didn't have anything on his own. All he could do was give the man his one talent back. And that left him without anything. And so he says in verse 29 here, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given more. And he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Now, the Briarfield translation of that verse says this: you and I, we're born again. God has given us knowledge about him and what he wants us to do. If we take that knowledge that he's given us and go and use it and do something with it, then he'll give us more. But if we don't do anything with it, it's very possible that he can take even the knowledge away from us that we already have. So God intends for you to use what he gives you. That was the whole point of the story. So what he hath, for everyone that hath, is what you understand, is the knowledge of God. So if you have taken what you've learned about God and looked for more and tried to use it and spread it around to other people and share it, well, then he'll give you more so that you'll have a lot. But if you don't, he might even take away what he's already given you. That is something we, in the spot that we're in now, I think everybody in this room need to know that God has that clause in that contract with us. What you don't use, you lose, in other words. Now look at Luke chapter 8. A few pages over to the right. This is a little different twist to this verse right here. That other verse, I found it repeated in Scripture maybe 10 times. Same thing. What a person has, if he uses it, he'll get more. If he doesn't use it, It might even be taken away from him. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now you see, every day, maybe with you, but it is with me, every day God is giving me information about His world and how He wants us to act down here. Of course, I study to share with you, so, you know, I got my face in the book a good bit. But I need to be very careful about the things I hear about God. Some of it's true, some of it's not. There's a lot of folks on TV that are not truthful at all. And they've got a lot of people following them. And people think because they got so many people following them, they must be true. No, they're not. That's not necessary truth. They might be telling you bad stuff every day. So you take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath what he knows, what he understands, to him shall be given. But now look at what it says here. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Now what does that mean? That's the only place I know that it refers to that. That God would take away from me what I seem to have. Well, to start with, He's taking away from people who are not using what He's given them. Now we have a problem that I have seen all my life. We assume things. I have been around people who wanted everybody to be born again. I don't know why they wanted to be everybody to be born again. I mean, it's a good thing to be born again. Don't get misunderstood. But what I'm saying is, when they got around somebody who they didn't know was born again, they treat them like they're born again. I think some of them did it because they don't want to stick their neck out and have to witness to it. So they treat them like they're born again, hoping that they are, when in fact they're not. I've seen people that assume that somebody was living at the foot of the cross and holding hands with Jesus because they saw their car in front of a church every Sunday morning. That's not proof. That's not proof at all. I have been in one church where when I got there, the people told me there was one lady who was the best Sunday school teacher in the whole country. And after a few months there, I found out after talking with her about some things about Scripture, I don't believe the lady was saved at all. And she had the reputation of being the best Sunday school teacher in the whole country. So what I'm trying to say, folks, is this. God does not want us misled. That's the reason He says over and over and over, be careful what you listen to. Some people who have will teach you what is right stuff to learn. Some other people who seem to have it right can also teach you the wrong stuff. And God will take what they seem to have away from them because you thought they had it and you listened to them and you believed it. So you see, there's another warning. Not only does He take away from people who are not using what He's given them, but He takes away from some people what we assume they have. But He's doing that to protect us. There is a way, people, that in order, like I was raised to be a good little Baptist boy. I mean, that's what I try. I was taught, and every time I went to church, that was what I was supposed to be. And I didn't know what a good little Baptist boy was because everybody that come along told me something different. But as I got older and started studying the Bible, I found out what a good Jesus boy was, and that's what I wanted to be. And it wasn't what the Baptist said a good little boy was, because they got all kind of stuff added to what the Bible teaches about being a good person. And so we get misled. I've had to relearn a lot of things out of my Bible that I was raised in church and taught that I found out are not right. So we get an impression about people, and we need to be very careful about that. Because sometimes we put people, like he said earlier, don't get puffed up and put one person over another one. Because if you do, you're liable to believe everything that person tells you, and he might be telling you wrong. So you got to be very careful. What did Peter say? Try every spirit to make sure the ones you're listening to are of God. We assume, and we've got to be so very careful about assuming. They tell me now, for what it's worth, that so many of the big churches, the ones that have thousands of people attending them, don't hire preachers. They hire CEOs, because CEOs make companies grow. And so a church hires a fellow with CEO tendencies to make it grow. And when he stands up to preach, he don't know what to say. And that happens. It does. So be careful, so we don't get duped by assuming somebody is speaking the truth. Remember what we started out this whole series of lessons with. Walk on the straight way, because there are few that find it. There'll never be a lot of people. There'll always be a few. In John, next book over, chapter 15, Jesus makes another story to those people who were walking the streets in those days. He makes another analogy to try to make a point. Chapter 15 of John, in verse 1, Jesus says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandryman is the man who looks after grapevines. He prunes them and clips them and digs around them and fertilizes them and whatever. He says, I'm the vine, and my Father, God, is the man that looks after the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Apparently, I don't know anything about grapevines, but all I've ever heard is that folks that look after grapes, if there's a vine that's not producing any fruit, they cut it off and throw it in the fire. And every branch that beareth fruit, he clips it, and cleans it, and fertilizes it, so it'll bear more fruit. That's the same story that we've been telling ever since I started. That when we take something and it produces for us, we make it produce more. But the ones that don't produce, we cut them off and throw them in the fire. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. So what he's doing, people, is when God gives you something, and you know something, and you know it for sure, and you know you're born again, and you know it's better to be born again than it is to be not born again, and you want to share it with people, he encourages you to do that. He equips you to do that. He gives you the strength to do that. He gives you the boldness to do that. He will give you anything you need to do more tomorrow than you're doing today. That's the way our God is. So that in all of that, he gets more glory every day because of what he's doing in us. Now here's another catch about this same set of instructions about this age of sanctification that we find ourselves in. It comes from Mark chapter 4. Please turn there. I want you to know where this is. He starts off in verse 23 of Mark chapter 4. Verse 23. with the same thing again. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You know what Jesus is saying here? I'm fixing to tell you something important. You better listen. That's exactly what he's saying. So then what follows must be important for those who understand. Some don't. Verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, and unto you that hear shall more be given. It's the same story again, but there's a different twist to this, what this one says. And what he's saying here is this. Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Okay. Here we are Christians, and we're learning how to be like Christ. And as we learn the real stuff, the truth, and we put it to work, here's what he says for you Christians, my children. You're in my school, and I'm showing you how to live like me. But I'm going to tell you this. God has a plan. And here's what it is. God is going to treat you and me like we treat other people. You didn't know that, did you? It was a long time before I did. I thought, I'm a Christian. I'm special. I can do things that maybe other people can get by with. No. No. There's something I've learned about God's Word. When He suggests you do something, there's another verse right down the road, right down in the next book, or over in the Old Testament that tells you, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. So see, He asks you to do all these nice things. There's that word that's not in the Bible, so I won't use it again. But that's what kind of words we use. And God says, I have taught you to be honest, to be truthful, not talk too much, do this, do that, help your neighbor, help those in need, help the widows, help the orphans, help the poor folks, all that kind of stuff. Help the weak folks. He tells us to do all that stuff. But now he comes up with this. He said, I'm going to tell you something. The way, take heed what you hear and what you learn about what God wants you to do. Because here's the thing, I'm going to treat you like you treat other people around you. I know from some people I know, some people I've been around in my life, they don't realize that because they don't have any idea that the way they're eating, treating other people, that God's going to treat them the same way. If they did, I don't think they'd do that way to other people. But that's part of it. That is part of this fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ, or with God through Jesus Christ. And God says, I'll treat you like you treat other people. Do unto others, as you said. That's another one of those cliches. Do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. I've printed that thing out in my three apps, I guess you got on my computer, that are King James Version apps and whatever. And that do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is not in the Bible. It says the same thing, but it don't say it like that. It's some of those things, that those catchy little phrases that some of our churches come up with to get people to do something this way or that way. But what I'm saying is that we have a relationship with God through Jesus that He treats us. When you read all these promises, and I've always been a fan of promises, because if I can find out God promised to do it, then all I got to do is do it, and He'll do whatever He said He'd do. I like that. I got a guarantee that God will be nice to me if I do that. So the question comes up, how do you treat others? Well, I've had some hard deals with God. I know that. I've told you that. And I wonder, why is God treating me like this? Might have been that I was treating somebody else that way. So how do you judge others? How quick are you to judge other people and what they do or what they don't do? I thought about several things when I learned that some of the people who we thought were really the holiest people in town because they were so judgmental of everything everybody did. And I came to find out that maybe it's because of they're so judgmental, maybe God is so judgmental of them, they're not happy all the time. He said he came that we might have joy and that our joy might be full. That's the reason he came. But if we're so critical of other people and the way they act, it may be that God's that critical of us and we don't feel good about it. We don't have enough joy. So if I'm hard on others, God very well might be hard on me. How much slack do you cut other people? Romans chapter 14 said we need to be very careful about how we look at other people and what we demand out of them, because God will deal with us the same way. It's a choice. We choose how to live for God, because we got a pretty good bit of freedom once we're saved. Our scripture in John tells me that we're free indeed if Jesus sets us free. But we're free after we're saved. We have freedom after we're saved. The free will of man is not there for the sinner. Not there for the unsaved man, because he's a slave to Satan and sin itself. He can't be free. He's got to do what Satan wants him to do. An example of what I'm talking about here is this verse right here in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ear at the cry of the poor, he himself will cry out and he won't be heard. Now that's one of the scriptures that if you understand this principle that you will run across, and you got to put it down on your list as scriptures of what God is talking about here. If you stop your ear at the cry of the poor, if a man cries out for you, could you help me, brother? Could you lend me $5 or give me $10 or $20 or whatever? Or could you help me lift this or help me carry this or what? Give me a ride or whatever? Whatever you do to help somebody else. If you stop your ears and won't listen to them, just drive on by. God says there'll be a time when you'll cry out to me and I won't hear you. In the New International Version, it translates that word heard as answered. In other words, if you close your eyes, you stoppeth your ears at the cry of the poor, when you cry out, I won't answer you. So you see, there's that. And we build into this system, this relationship we have with God, how exactly we're treated by the way we treat other people. If you show others no mercy, you shall also be judged with no mercy. God, in many ways, assumes your attitude because you got that attitude. But the profound thing is, if you will try to be like Jesus, you will do like Jesus. It's being that causes you to do. Now, there's some folks who try to do to get approval, and they're not being. That don't work. But if you have Jesus in you and you're born again, you will. There's a desire that the Holy Spirit puts in you that makes you want to be like Jesus. He gives to you based on what you have done with what he's given to you already. That is an interesting subject of doctrine here. That God is giving to us, you and I, in this stage of our spiritual life between being born again and being face to face with God, he gives to us based on what we do with what He gives us already and how we treat other people. That's the reason you see some people who just can't help but help other people, how happy their lives seem to be. Because God is dealing with them based on the way that they're dealing with others. There's some of you in here that know that I know you and I know what you do for other people. And you always seem like everything's hunky-dory with you. Everything's nice. And that's good. That's the way it's supposed to work. But I wanted you to be aware that that is the way our God, as like I said, we started out with taking some looks at God and what we thought He was, that maybe He's not what we thought He was. Oh, I mess up. I mess up all the time. But you know, God just still showers me with blessings. Well, this thing, He says God's a little bit different than that. And we need to understand who it is that we're serving. And this is the thing that He puts on us. Use what I've given you, or I might take it away from you. And I'll give you in the same measure that you do for other people. Two of the doctrines of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for teaching us. We need to understand these things. We need to have that in the back of our minds so that when we might want to be a little loose with somebody, maybe we want to be a little judgmental with somebody, maybe we don't want to cut somebody any slack, that Your Holy Spirit can bring to our remembrance those things that You said in Your book and cause us to say, I better be different. Because Jesus said in His first sermon, repent, change your mind. Change your mind about who we are and what our whole deal is. That you might learn to live like Jesus Christ. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here on us. We have a chance now under the rulership of God to live like Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.